This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner, McPherson's sports talk show.
Bullpups win! Bullpups win! Bullpups win it!
Listen every day, Monday through Friday, from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com. According to Jim is your source for Chiefs talk.
10-5, touchdown, Kansas City, a 106-yard kickoff return right out of the gate.
The Royals.
Swinging a ground ball to third is fair. Fair ball up the left field line. Here's Cologne, and the Royals win it.
College football and college basketball.
Eight to shoot, Paul, the runner.
And everything else that's going on in the sports world.
Inside corner, the Royals, 2015 World Champions.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's your host, Jim Joyner.
Let's do this thing on a Red Friday here on According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or if you're listening anywhere in the world, online at midkansasonline.com. We've got a good one coming up tonight, and we have a fun weekend full of sports, and this is a big time college football weekend. College basketball starts tonight. The Chiefs have a bye week, which makes Sunday a little bit sad, but then they're gearing up and getting ready to play the second half of their season, which will start next week. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, Mr. Steve Sal. Steve, we have a big one tonight as the Bullpups take on May South in the state quarterfinals, and they try to reach the state semis for the first time since 2008.
For whatever reason, to me, this game hasn't seemed as big as last week. Maybe
no.
It's because it was Bueller.
I think it's probably that.
And there was so much put into that Bueller game that it's almost like we've had a little bit of an emotional letdown. But May South has beaten the Bullpups three times in a row in the last 2 years. All the games have been close, and I think the Bullpups are going to be ready. They're tired of losing the May South, and they've had enough of that. And I think after every game, I know last year we looked at the games when they were done and was like, I just can't believe this team beat us, That's what the kids were saying. And same thing this year, we moved the ball really well the first two series. Could have had at least 10 points for sure, because we got down to the end zone, got stopped. Then I think we had a field goal blocked or missed.
Missed
the field goal. And, could have easily had two scores in that game, which would have won the game. Because basically, May South did nothing other than the one series where they completed three passes in a row. Bullpups were in prevent defense. And, of course, prevent defense prevents you from winning. But I just have a feeling they're taking such a calm business approach to this game. I think they're going to get the job done. I just feel like they've made so much improvement this year. I'm sure May South is better, but I don't know how much. May South doesn't have the home run exciting potential of a Dalton Brown or a Dalton Smyers.
Right.
It just seemed like you kind of held your breath every time Dalton Brown got the ball last week, and his longest run was 5 yards. So Bullpup defense just played lights out, and I expect them to play lights out again tonight. Of course, last year when we played May South, it was a 14-6 game in the regulation. We kind of looked for the same type of game in the postseason, and a track meet broke out, 35-27. Yeah, and there was no rhyme or reason to it. All I remember last year is that Ethan Richardson, the quarterback for May South, really threw the ball well, and we gave up a lot of big plays in the passing game. So should be a great night for football. It's going to be a little cool. Of course,
47 degrees, 10-mile-an-hour wind.
Boy, if it gets – it's 47. Right now it feels like it's about 27 outside. It's just – it's
Oh, come on. It doesn't feel that cold.
Well, I get a chill.
Yeah, you get your chill.
Well, I don't have my shawl.
I think it feels pretty good out.
I don't have my shawl. So it just seems cold to me. My car barely turned over. I'm not sure it's going to even start. That's how cold it is.
Well, then we better take my car down to May South. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about the Bullpups in May South in the next break. But the first thing I wanted to talk about today before we dive into the Bullpups, we dive into our predictions for the weekend as college basketball starts this weekend. We have college football and a lot of good games, as well as some of the local teams playing. The biggest headline from last night, Steve, is that the Seattle Seahawks beat the Arizona Cardinals on Thursday Night Football. And you may be thinking, well, that's not that much of a headline. You probably expect that, but a lot of the Seahawks players after the game were furious with the NFL and talking about how the Thursday night games are not fair to these teams because Richard Sherman ruptured his Achilles and he is out for the year. And so they lose their, well, maybe not their best defender, but one of their best defenders in their Legion of Boom defense. And the Seahawks players had no problem with going off in the NFL last night, and that's right up your alley.
Oh, yeah, because I just hate Thursday night games. I know everyone says, oh, it's great to have football.
You've got your Color Rush shirt on tonight.
Yeah, but I am definitely, yeah, I do have my color.
He's a big Seahawks
fan. Well, if you'd seen the Seahawks uniforms last night, I looked like somebody threw up all over them. But anyway, they look like a highlighter. Someone was going to use them and highlight in their book, passages or something like that. But I have been on the record for many years saying, Thursday night games are bad for the NFL because it's bad for the players. I can only imagine in week 14, 15, 16, 17, how those players must feel to play a Thursday night game. I mean, players can barely walk by the end of the year, and then they have to play two games in basically 4 days. That's just nonsense. And I applaud the Seattle players, and it's all about money. It's all about money, the NFL making money, the TV contracts. But I'm just telling you right now, for the safety of the players in the next bargaining agreement that they have, I don't know when that's going to be, but they are going to have to bargain to get rid of Thursday games because they are just physically unsafe. Richard Sherman, he is the face of the Seattle franchise. Let's face it. He is their most recognizable player.
Him and Russell Wilson.
Well, yeah, but I think Richard Sherman, for everything he stands for, he plays so hard. He's defense is what they hang their hat on. I've got Seattle's defense in my fantasy football league because I have had them every year in fantasy football since they really became good. And I just think Thursday games are terrible. I wish they'd do away with them and just play on Sunday and Monday night.
And Russell Wilson also kind of had a scare during the game that he got hit very hard after letting go of a pass. And so they sent him over to the little concussion tent. And I'm not kidding. Russell Wilson was in that tent for 6 seconds. He walked in and sat down, and they pulled the tent down, and then they popped it back up, and then he came out.
It was like he was Superman going in to change his jersey,
Yeah.
That's about how long he was in the phone booth.
But it makes you think when it comes to this concussion protocol. Was that really a concussion protocol to go in there and say, you're fine? Okay, get back out there.
This is going to be a big story because the NFL is going to come under fire for this. I'm sure Russell Wilson said, hey, I got hit on the chin. I'm fine. It was, the referees overreacting. They probably said, yeah, get back in there, because it didn't appear to be hurt in any way. But still, when they put you in the tent, you got to go through the protocol. And he didn't go through the protocol. And the NFL will hear about that. But as far as the game itself, I mean, Seattle, Arizona, I don't think really anybody west of the Mississippi probably really cared about that game.
Remember
too much.
The 6-6 tie last year where both teams missed these chip shot field goals in overtime?
And see, that game was really important for me because I had Doug Baldwin going for Seattle. He was my wide receiver. I had Larry Fitzgerald, both with very good games. I think between the two of them, they had 200 yards receiving, but no touchdowns, but got me some fantasy football points. But it's a game that really didn't resonate too much, I don't think, with the majority of the country.
The other big NFL news that happened is something that we talked a little bit about last week, and who knows if by Sunday morning it's going to be the same thing, but Ezekiel Elliott's 6-game suspension is now back on. So for those of you keeping score at home, it's back on. It's for about the 7th time. So depending on if they, for some reason, come out on Sunday afternoon at about 1:30 for their 3:25 kickoff and they go, it's okay, get out there, Zeke. He will be suspended for the next 6 games. The Cowboys are at Atlanta this week. They will then host Philly, host the Chargers, host the Redskins, go to New York to take on the Giants, and then go to Oakland. So not an easy stretch at all for Ezekiel Elliott to miss games. And, of course, I wish he would have missed last week, and the Chiefs might have found a way to win instead of losing. But Ezekiel Elliott, for now, is suspended.
Chiefs did a great job on him, though, last week. Kept him under 100 yards.
I think he was at 90.
Yeah, and, he just had a big, about 160-yard game the week before, and considering how run porous the Chiefs' defense is, I thought they did a pretty good job on him.
So Ezekiel Elliott out, the Seattle game, and the weird injury for Richard Sherman, the weird one for Russell Wilson, and that will set up everything else going on this weekend. After the break, we will dive into the McPherson-May South matchup tonight in the state quarterfinals, and then after that, we get into our fearless forecaster and predict the weekend's games and everything that's going on here in the area, as well as the college football landscape, as K-State and KU both playing some huge games. KU playing a massive game against the University of Texas. I mean, this is their biggest rival.
The only thing that's going
to
be massive,
to win.
The only thing that's massive is Texas' score, because that costs Charlie Strong his job. And say what you will about Charlie Strong, he had some players that really, you know, did they were devastated when he lost his job, and they're going to make KU pay, and it's going to be ugly.
I think it's going to be really bad. Okay, on the other side, we preview the Bullpups and the May South Mavericks for the final time before they will kick off tonight at 7 o'clock. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim with Jim Joyner podcast. According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meade's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back in on According to Jim on a Friday afternoon. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell here on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com. Well, the game of the night tonight, Steve, the game of the weekend that I think everybody in town will have their eye on, whether in attendance down near the Wichita area or listening right here starting at 6:30 on 96.7 FM, KBBE, is the Bullpups and the Mavericks of May South. And, Steve, this is a matchup that we have anticipated happening pretty much all season long. This is the fourth time these two teams have played in just over a calendar year, and the Bullpups have lost all three times in the previous. So, as we get ready for this game, there are a lot of things to look at, but really, it's a clean slate for both of these teams because every game has been different. And I don't have a good feel whether this is going to be a shootout like it was in the playoffs last year, or if it's going to be low scoring like the two games in the regular season have been.
I think it's going to be low scoring. I think the later you get in the year, you know, it's a little harder to score points, I just feel, because I don't think you can throw the ball as well. May South really didn't throw the ball very much at all successfully against the Bullpups, other than the one series where I think they had three completions for about 40 yards. Now, McPherson did not throw the ball well at all.
72 yards.
72 yards, and really I think that's the last time that we haven't thrown the ball real well.
Yeah.
So I fully expect us to be much better in the pass game. For one thing, we won't have the drops. I mean, that was just kind of an aberration because I think we had about four or five drops in that game, and our receivers have been really good all year other than that game. So I think we'll be able to throw the ball. I think we'll be able to score. And the thing is, teams have been scoring now on May South. Remember, yeah, they had that. They started out the year with three shutouts, and everyone said, well, God, nobody's going to score them. I'm not sure how many points their first-team defense has given up, but Wellington, I believe, scored on the first play of the game last week against them, and then May South shut them out. But, again, it all starts up front. May South has a terrific interior lineman, sophomore, about 290, 300 pounds. It's really, really good, already getting some big-time looks. They got a really good defensive end and two great kids in the secondary. We've heard that they might have some injuries, but we don't know for sure exactly the severity or to whom. We do know one, the Bliss kid, Andrew. I think it's Andrew Bliss.
Andrew Bliss.
Yeah, we've
a punter and a wide receiver.
Yeah, we have understood that he will not play. Is that what you got on your last?
Yeah, not playing.
Okay, but Max Dominic, that's all you need to know about May South. He had one game. I was looking back in their stats. He had 42 carries in one game. So he is a workhorse. He's only about 5'7", 150, 60 pounds, has real strong legs, though. And he's one of those guys that doesn't go down on first contact. When you hit him, he just seems to kind of spin. And, you know, it takes two or three guys to bring him down.
And the way Coach Pav talked about Max Dominic is that he is a guy that will just try and bait you. And a little run, little run, little run. And he's not a chunk runner, kind of like how Jace Kinnaman is, where he's picking up 7, 8, 9, and just rolling and rolling. Max Dominic will either take it for 3 yards and get tackled near the line of scrimmage, or he's going to take it to the house. That he has the big play ability, but he pretty much just runs up the middle. And so they just wait for him to have a chance to break off into the secondary. He did not do that against McPherson the first time around. But as we look at this May South team, there are some games on the schedule that sort of pop out to me that go, huh, how did that happen? Number one, they lost to Buehler 17-14, gave up 17 points in the first half, held them scoreless after the break, and they ended up losing to that Buehler team, which we know was very good. But the game that, to me, I shake my head at is the game against Augusta, where, Steve, you and I were at Hayes that night, and we were getting score updates about Maysouth losing to Augusta for a lot of that game. They lost 31-23, and
Augusta was terrible,
right?
Against us, at least.
And I watched that Augusta team when McPherson played them, and, of course, the McPherson defense is a bit of an anomaly for any team playing them. But to give up 23 points to that offense that couldn't do anything against the Bullpups makes me go,
that's an Augusta,
how did that happen?
That's an Augusta offense that was minus yards until the Westbrook's kid had like a 37-yard run with about 3 minutes left in the game to get him out of the hole. So, that's a head-scratcher to me. And it's not like Augusta, they were fortunate to, just get the ball past midfield against the Bullpups, which they barely did. So that game does make me scratch my head a little bit. And also, Maysouth should have been able to score 50 on Augusta. McPherson, I think it was 40-0. And we played our JVs the entire fourth quarter and maybe a little bit of the end of the third quarter.
Yeah. And so there are things of this Maysouth team. You mentioned that they didn't give up any points for the first three games. And that's one thing, but you also look at who they played. They played Circle, who has won one game in the last 5 years. They played KC Washington, who is just terrible. And then the Bullpups had a bad game, and they lost 9-0. So there are some things with this Maysouth team that make me think the Bullpups are going to be able to score at least two touchdowns. I think you predicted 21-10.
21-7.
Yeah, 21-7. I'm kind of thinking more along the lines of 21-13, 21-7 maybe. I think the Bullpups are going to be able to score tonight.
Oh, I do too. I just feel like they've got too many weapons, and they still have, what I've been told, they still have a trick play in their back pocket.
I'm sure they've got some.
That they have not used yet. We might see that tonight, because you got to pull out all the stops, because you want to get into that next round. If the Bullpups win, they'll be at home next Friday. My gosh. A semifinal game at McPherson Stadium. It'll just be it'll be Katie bar the door. I mean, everybody's going to be here for that game. So, and boy, we'd love to have another game at home because, we love playing at home and our fans turn out. And after that last home game, you don't think the Bullpups made a few new fans that night?
I think they got some new fans. Well, the other game that the Bullpups are keeping their eye on tonight, and we will be doing the same up in the booth, is Andale playing at Andover Central. Andale is undefeated. They were the team that beat Buehler back in week 7. And so this Andale team is the one that everybody thinks is going to make its way to potentially McPherson Stadium or whoever wins the game tonight between the Bullpups and Maysouth. But Andale is kind of a weird team too, that they have played a couple of games that I'm not so sure about. And Andover Central has been under the radar a little bit. They're 5-5, but they've played a really tough schedule, and they've played every team pretty close. And so it makes me think that Andover Central is going to give Andale a game tonight.
And see, I'm the opposite. I have Andale 34, Andover Central 14. I think the speed of Andale is just too much. They still have the Dejeuner kid in the backfield. They got the Fairchild boys in the line. They've got just blazing speed, and they are just so well coached. They are a well-oiled machine. Every time we have ever played Andale, they get in the huddle, and they break out and snap it almost immediately. They're one of those teams that runs up to the line of scrimmage, takes no time. It's like Hutt. They're in motion. Now, defensively, last year, the Bullpups were able to move the ball on them quite a bit last year. So, but this year, defensively, they've been pretty good. So I like Andale, and I think it's going to be a pretty comfortable victory.
And if the Bullpups win, then they will be at home, regardless of who wins that game. But if the Bullpups lose, then it could be all sorts of place because it goes off of who is the furthest west team. And McPherson is the furthest west by about 1 degree longitude, which we talked about yesterday. Okay,
and not latitude.
Yeah, not latitude. Latitude is the horizon.
Right.
Longitude is
it's all
up
about
and down,
longitude.
Because you have to think of launching like a rocket
yeah,
ship.
Yeah, it's all about longitude.
Longitude
and ball bearings.
Yeah. Okay. Coming up on the other side, we wrap up the show, wrap up the week, and we go through Fearless Forecaster's predictions for what is going to happen tonight, what's going to happen tomorrow, and then get you ready for everything tonight. It's going to be a fun, fun weekend. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim with Jim Joyner podcast. According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Final segment on this week's According to Jim here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, or you can listen to us online at midkansasonline.com. And of course, if you have missed the show, you've missed any shows this week, you've missed any shows ever, you can find them on podcast at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Steve, it is that time of the week. It's time to predict what is going to happen this weekend. Fearless Forecaster dropped off his picks. Now, this is the last weekend for Fearless Forecaster because the KCAC football season is about
and the area games, yeah, are pretty much down because all it'll be left is Big 12. So, yeah, Fearless at 79% needs a big week. He wants to end up over 80% so he doesn't get fired. You know, he works on a year-to-year contract.
That's true.
And there's a couple years ago, we just about had to put him out to pasture because he wasn't picking very well, and then he had about an 82% year and then a 79%. He's at 79 this year. Had it not been for Little River messing with his head the first 4 weeks,
yeah,
he couldn't figure Little River out. He went 0-4 of the first four Little River games, and then he got Little River right the rest of the year.
All right, let's start with the area games. We've mentioned a couple times this week that in 3A, Heston, after beating undefeated Conway Springs, gets another undefeated team in Phillipsburg. That game will be at Heston, and I think Fearless Forecaster is thinking that Heston's got a good chance tonight.
Well, Fearless is riding with the Swathers. He's starting to feel like they're recreating last year's magic when Heston made it all the way to the state championship game. They beat Phillipsburg on the way to that game last year. They get him at home this year, and right now that Heston offense is just on fire. He's going Fearless says Heston 42, Phillipsburg 35.
You know, our own Tom Stapleton here at the station, he is a Phillipsburg grad, and he was telling me a story the other day about how he scored a touchdown in high school.
Really?
And, I mean, Tom's a big guy. He was a lineman.
I was going to say, he had to pick it up and run with it on a fumble or something.
They gave him the ball at the one-yard line.
Well, you know, we have the bus. Tom would be the semi.
Yeah, Tom's a big guy. And he scored a touchdown. He said he was running so hard that he ran into the wall that was behind the end zone. So that's all I can picture.
I feel bad for the wall.
And then the other area game, Smoky Valley in 4A2 hosting Holcomb. So both those teams get home games tonight while the Bullpups go on the road. How does Fearless think the Vikings are going
to
do?
Well, Fearless is not a big fan of 3.5-hour bus rides. Yeah. I'm just convinced that that'll take something out of Holcomb. Smokey's been very good running the football, very good against the run. And that's Holcomb actually throws the ball more than about any team Smokey's faced. So it's a good thing they played Collegiate last week because Collegiate threw the ball quite a bit. So the Viking pass defense kind of got a tune up there. Smoky Valley 20, Holcomb 14.
All right, Big 12. We'll save KU and K-State for last. Texas Tech playing at Baylor, who's coming off of that massive season-changing win over KU, winning 38-9 last week. Texas Tech, of course, a lot of offense. Baylor, not a whole lot of defense. Texas Tech's a 7.5-point favorite, but what are you thinking, or what is Fearless thinking?
Well, Fearless says Texas Tech 56, Baylor 45. There will be no defense in this game. Look for about 800, 900 yards combined by the two teams.
Another big one, Oklahoma State at Iowa State. Of course, Iowa State did not look as good last week. Oklahoma State coming off the loss to OU over in Stillwater. But weird things happen in Ames. Oklahoma State is 6.5-point favorite. How does Fearless see this one playing out?
Well, Fearless says the bloom is starting to come off Iowa State's rose. And Oklahoma State, though, coming off of, you know, they can't afford to lose two in a row.
Yeah.
If they would have beat OU last week, I would have probably picked Iowa State because it had been the upset alert out. But Oklahoma State is on the fringe of the playoff picture, can't afford another loss. Oklahoma State 42, Iowa State 28.
All right, biggest game of the night in college football, Oklahoma taking on TCU and hosting them in Norman. Of course, this is a game with two teams right on the bubble of the college football playoff. Baker Mayfield coming off of that, whatever, 600-yard passing performance last week. I feel pretty good about the Sooners, and they're 6.5-point favorites, but how does Fearless see this one
playing
out?
Fearless is going 1.5 point above the spread, 31-24. They won't score as much as they have been because TCU's got a great defense, but Kenny Hill Jr. at quarterback does not...
Kenny Trill, whatever.
And it does not inspire a lot of confidence of Fearless forecaster. He's never been a big Kenny Hill JR fan, so... 31-24 Sooners.
All right, the other biggest game of the night, Texas hosting KU. Texas is a 33.5-point favorite, and last year KU beat those Longhorns up in Lawrence, and we talked about it earlier in the week. I think KU is going to get absolutely dismantled tomorrow.
They're going to get whipsawed, and what's going to happen is that those players that were really upset when Charlie Strong got fired, they're going to remember that. KU has just packed it in, let's face it. They have just mailed it in. 59-7, and it could be worse than that.
And then finally, the game going on in Manhattan tomorrow, K-State hosting West Virginia. K-State opened as a 2-point favorite. The Mountaineers are sort of a weird team, kind of like Texas Tech, where they're either going to explode for all this offense with Will Grier quarterback, or they're going to be terrible. And I don't have any feel for this game. K-State is, they picked up the nice win in overtime over Texas Tech, but can they keep that rolling and get bowl eligible?
Well, I'm just still kind of scratching my head about how they've handled the Jesse Ertz thing. Every week they kind of give an indication he's going to play and he doesn't. Don't be surprised if it's Skylar Thompson at quarterback. But this is a must-win game for K-State because I don't think they win at Oklahoma State next week, not with the pass defense K-State has had. And then they get Iowa State at home for the season finale. But I think this is the game K-State's got to win, and I think they get it done. West Virginia, I haven't been able to figure them out all year. 35-31 K-State over West Virginia.
All right, before we dive into our final McPherson May South picks, a couple of basketball games going on tonight at the D1 level. K-State is hosting American University. KU is hosting Tennessee State. And Wichita State hosting UMKC. Good to see the actual college basketball season beginning before next week. Everything starts to get going, and then you look up and it's feast week.
Yeah, and here's the thing I can't understand. KCAC conference basketball starts next week.
It's weird.
That's crazy. They play a 22-game schedule. That's going to be a subject of a program we have in the coming weeks because they got to do something in the KCAC. They're adding Avila next year. So if they
– the mighty Avila Eagles.
Yeah, and Avila just beat – I believe it was Bethany here not the other night. So they'll have a 24-game conference schedule. I think that's just insane. The coaches hate it. Everybody but KCAC Commissioner Scott Crawford seems to love it. So we'll talk about that later. But anyway – KCAC conference play starts next week, which is mind-boggling since they play 8 games before Christmas in conference play.
Yeah, I was with the Heart of America Athletic Conference for the last few years, and they played a 26-game conference schedule.
Insane.
And the women's coach, Ben Lister, was never really thrilled about that. The men's coach, Sean Dooley, I don't think he was either. Of course, the women won the conference, and the men were, I think, just barely over 500. Okay, final game. McPherson, May South tonight at May South. We said the temperature around 45 degrees at kickoff. Not as much wind as the first time around. I am saying 20-13 McPherson. How does Fearless see this one going?
Well, I tipped it off earlier. 21-7. I just think the Bullpups have gotten that much better. And when you look at what May South's done, it doesn't seem like they've gotten a whole lot better. They kind of peaked earlier in the year. I mean, they're still a great football team, but I just think the Bullpups improved so much, and I just don't think this group of seniors wants to quit playing football.
Pre-game starts at 6:30 tonight, as you and I will be making the trip down there. Kickoff at 7 between the Bullpups and the Mavericks. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We will see you next week, and go Bullpups tonight.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.